working on is how to live our life together and do this thing together. So she's just not headstrong going, and I'm just going like, okay, how do I do this? And I'm trying to catch things and pick up behind her and so forth. And the theme for, I think, this season in our church is I really want to see people transformed, but I don't want to just see it. I don't want to just watch it from over here. I want to be a part of it. And part of when we share and when we testify, we have an opportunity. We can sit back as listeners and just kind of go, that was nice for you, right? And just kind of sort of withdraw. Or we can go, you know what? I'm a part of that. Somehow, some way, and whatever the Lord speaks to you about through this time today, I want you to take it seriously because there might be a message there for you that you are being spoken to and that you get to participate in. Does that make sense? So, without further ado, let's pray. God, one thing we know is we can participate in prayer. And I think that we think of that. I know I do so last minute, last resort. And we want to be that first. We want to walk with you. We don't want to go without you. We trust that you see and you know. With that, we offer this time. We ask that you speak to us through your servants, not just Allie, but all of the ladies that are going to share with us. Draw us into you. Draw us closer. Help us to know you better. Let us be transformed by that encounter. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Hi. So, I've been sick all week. And I'm feeling better, but I'm not all the way there. So just if my voice and if I get a little lost, please give me some grace. but when we were talking about this Sunday and Brad and I and Marquita and just talking about, you know, we are all one body, you know, we, all of us. So us ladies that went on retreat last weekend, we didn't go by ourselves. The theme being life together. It's not that it was life only on, you know, in Oceanside, in that house. You know, it wasn't. There was amazing things that happened there, but it wasn't just, life isn't just that weekend. Life is us together every day. And so what we had talked about is wanting to bring you guys kind of into what happened and extend that beyond those walls and extend that to everybody. Because life together isn't just the women doing life together. It's all of us. And that showed in us getting there. I just want to say thank you to everybody that prayed. It was amazing. Thank you to everybody that donated. Thank you. We were able to cover 6 people because of scholarships and donations and our fundraisers. And that is amazing. And so thank you for being a part of that and making that happen for people, for us as a community. So today what we're going to do is, we're going to weave you guys into our weekend and go beyond that weekend. I'm going to share quickly, and then I've asked a few people to share something of their experience there that would help weave you guys in. The story, the theme kind of throughout, it was life together, but there was a underlying theme of being unraveled and being woven into something new. And so we want to weave you guys into that tapestry and into as we are continually being woven together. I'm Allie, and I have to start by one thing. At the end of the retreat, I said a thank you to a few people, and one that I didn't, and I have to just call out as my partner, Stephanie. She and I walked hand in hand in doing this, and she is amazing, and so that's Stephanie, and it was her birthday yesterday, and I'm so thankful for her. And and so I wanted to start with that. I didn't plan this by myself. There were parts I did. There were parts Stephanie did. There were parts everybody did. That was something that was also really amazing. So start with that. One of Stephanie's first things that she shared with us at retreat was that we are part of a team and that the Lord is our coach. And that in life, we are not supposed to be, life is not a spectator sport. And so echoing what Brad said, don't just sit back. Don't sit back and watch other people. Oh, that looks great. That's cool. dig in, jump in. When you're called on, go in, because we are all in this together, and we want to do this together by the leading of the Lord. So a little, I shared this at retreat, but I don't think it's a bad thing for people to hear again, because we heard a lot, and then I also want everybody to jump on board. Going into the retreat, it was time. It was every other year we do a women's retreat, and it was time to do that. And all of a sudden, I'm going, okay, what are we doing? I don't know what we're going to do. The first thought I thought was, well, let's just go somewhere where it'll be easy, and we can hang out, go to a retreat center where they do everything for us, and we can just be together. And the Lord was like, uh-uh. Nope, you're not going to have other people do this for you. You're going to do it together. And that's where the theme of life together sort of started coming from, in that he wants us to be doing life together, not just coming to church on a Sunday, which is important, and it definitely is key, but it is not just about that. Life is not only Sunday morning. Life is every day. And so that was how it started, and that's how it all sort of kind of, that was the vision. Okay, all of us together, all of us doing things together, side by side, preparing meals, speaking, teaching, sleeping. it was all there. But what the Lord, I felt, what he wanted to do was to for that to be just the start of us coming together and kicking us into the next, what's next. So as I was preparing, I just kind of tried my hardest to get everything in line and make sure everything was right and everything was good. And it got to a point where I was like, I couldn't do anymore. I had planned as much as I could, and I had done as much as I could, and I gave it to the Lord, and I said, okay, I can't do anymore. I can do what I can do. And he filled in. He filled in every place where it was, I couldn't. I was one person, so I was learning in the planning, and it's hard. Like Brad said, I like to do things, and I like to do them alone because I have an idea, and I can do it, and I can make it happen, and I don't need help, and that's just how I've kind of done life. And so this is as much for me to help me realize that I can't do that. So that's kind of the tangible, but the first message that, as I was preparing to open it, was that the Lord didn't want us just to hang out. It wasn't a girls' weekend. It wasn't a bachelorette party. It wasn't a, you know, go away just to go and hang out and be together. It was about becoming alive and having life. And John 10:10 says that he came to give us life and life abundantly, and that he doesn't want us to do that alone. Life doesn't come when you're isolated. Life doesn't come when you're alone. Life comes when you encounter others. But even more importantly, it's not just when you encounter others. It's important to have community, and it's important to be together. But and God, he uses that, the body, that we all are part of one body, and that's Christ. And that this was a big aha for me in preparing to speak, was that just, and if you come and you be a part of something, and that's great. If you are a hand in the body of Christ, if you are a foot, if you are the eye, and you all come together, that is awesome. And there are communities all over the place. There's clubs. There's things that if you come together, you can do something good. But what's the point? If a body comes together and has no life, no breath, it's a dead body. And where does our life come from? Where does our breath come from? And that is the breath of life. And that's like that song today, you know, it's your breath in my lungs. We need the Holy Spirit. That is what makes us alive. That is the thing that breathes life into our body and into a group of people coming together to form something and not just be dead, but to invite the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. In Genesis 2:7, it's when he breathed life into Adam. Breathe life into man. That is where life comes from. It is not from individual people coming together. It has that, but the breath is what brings that to life. It's the bones, the dead bones that come together, right? It's all of that, and it requires that the life, the breath of life, come and speak in and bring it to life. And so that for me was something that was like, whoa, that's cool. Like I had never thought of that before. And so the point wasn't just to go and hang out. Point wasn't to go and have people serve us and do things for us. It was to go and be together and invite the Lord into our lives to become alive, and then to take that out, Because what good is a life also if it's just living in itself, right? Mm-hmm. So doing life together, one, you got to bring yourself. Okay, you got to bring what you have. Two, you got to offer that to others to become part of something more. And third, you need to commune with the Lord in that for him to do good works and for him to move. And so for me, that was the gist of what the weekend was kickstarting for us. And a lot happened in that weekend, and I'm not going to go through it all because that's why we have others. I'm not the only one that was there. Who was there? Raise your hands. Okay, so we are going to hear from four people this morning, but I want to encourage every single person. Can you guys put your hands back up? If you weren't there at the retreat, go ask these people what the Lord did in their lives that weekend and what he has challenged them to do going forward. We don't have time for everybody to share. I mean, the Lord met us, but he doesn't stop. So take that. If you're curious, if you want to know, and you want to be part of it, and you want to be woven into what the Lord is doing here, that's what I want to say. So right now I'm going to ask Tabitha. Tabitha's going to come up and share. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Thank you. You're welcome. There's coloring up here. Good morning. Cool. Okay. So the retreat, like Allie said, was a very growthful time for a lot of us. I went into it the day before having had two very, very heavy conversations back to back that had brought up a lot of emotions and sadness, and I actually came to the retreat feeling very low and kind of not wanting to be there once I got there. And it crossed my mind that maybe I was projecting this on other people, but it kind of felt like I wasn't the only one that felt that way, that there was a little bit of a tone of sadness in everyone, that everyone had kind of come into the weekend feeling aware of some sort of hurt or burden in their life. And I felt calm, and I felt peaceful being with everyone, but there was this undercurrent of kind of sadness. And so I've been learning that sin is sin because it is destructive to us. It's not this separate category of good and bad things, and we don't do the bad things and then we're good people. It's that there are different things in our lives that are destructive to our souls. And so there's this balance that we are made in the image of God, but we're splintered up and fragmented by sin. And the story of the fall is this way of communicating that we're alienated from our potential wholeness in God, and we are like fragmented in life. And so I think that sadness I felt was coming from having gotten a very, very clear picture of brokenness in my own life and in the lives of people around me and in my society, and in very specific ways, and it hurt a lot. And so I think I was grieving that brokenness, and a lot of us, maybe not all of us, but some of us maybe were feeling that. And so the theme of life together was really beautiful. It was what happened. We cooked together, we worshiped together, like so many people preached and taught each other, and it was this communal effort, and this church can preach. not just Brad and Marquita, but like Miranda and Mackenzie and Sue, and oh my gosh, everyone. Like, I am constantly blown away by the wisdom that is in these people, all of you guys, us. So it was a safe environment, and it felt like that shell of sadness and grief was able to break because there was love around us to accept it once it happened, and people to receive it, and then lift each other up to the Lord. And once that emotional release did happen, we weren't left alone in it. We weren't left to just sit and wallow in it. On Saturday night, Mackenzie and Sue spoke on grace, and what stuck out to me was that when you don't understand grace or forgiveness or love or whatever the thing is, Jesus does. So, like, have you asked him about it? And can we invite Jesus into the brokenness and offer it back up to him instead of just hiding it and repressing it and trying to compensate for it? So what's beautiful is that the church is where we experience, like, life-to-life encounters of love and grace in each other. And you know what? This is funny. The first conversation I had with Amber where we really connected, I asked her how it was possible to have a relationship with a God that wasn't, like, physically tangible. I was just thinking about it and feeling, like, kind of blown away. Like, how does this actually happen? He's not literally physically in front of me, and he's not, but he's in each one of us. And so even though it's fragmentary and even though it's partial, this side of heaven, like, we are experiencing the love of Christ in each other, and that's life together. And Jesus is the life, and he dwells inside of us. So life together, it's like... So anyways... And that was just a conversation Amber and I had had. I'd kind of forgotten about that conversation, and she brought it up, and so, yeah. So part of that grace is affirming the potentialities in people, what that wholeness is that they were designed for. And that happened for me in a new way. So Amber and I had the privilege of teaching a session on Saturday about the Enneagram, which is sort of a way to help understand different facets of your personality. And the whole point of it is to look at some of those repressed character traits or repressed sin traits or brokenness pieces in our lives that we might want to compensate for or hide. And for me, that was feelings of inadequacy. And so I usually hide those feelings by working really hard to do really, really well. And it comes out in perfectionism sometimes. And then it cripples me because my standards are so high that I can't meet my own standards. So then I don't end up, like, it's frustrating. So instead of repressing those feelings of inadequacy, like, how do I acknowledge them and then bring them to the Lord and ask him into it? And ask him to be with me in it, and ask him to redeem the pain. And so the other thing that Mackenzie said about grace was that God's grace is the qualification for our adequacy. It's not me finally meeting my standard. It is only God's grace that makes me adequate. And so the other thing that Miranda said on the last day was that God is the one who defines reality, and so if he defines it, that's true. So you better align yourself with reality, or else you're crazy. So so if God says I'm loved, if God says I'm adequate, then that's the truth, and I better get over myself. So yeah, so this retreat was called Life Together, and this is so funny. I feel like my notes were kind of the same things that you guys said, and it's ongoing. It didn't actually feel like a retreat to hide from the world or get away from the world. It felt like a retreat where we kind of brought our worlds into it and then worked through it together, and then it was exciting to come back. I wasn't, like, sad, like, oh my gosh, retreat is over, like, it was so good, and I have to go back to my lame life. It was like, no, I'm ready for everything. I'm not ready. Like, I don't have everything together, but it's time to go back, and it was refreshing, and it was healing, and yeah, got to pray each other into more wholeness and be together, and yeah, so that was my experience.
Okay, I love public speaking. It always makes me want to throw up. when anyone asks me to public speak, I want to, I mean, I just want to run away. And then the Lord's like, nope, you have to say it. So I guess I'm here. So anyway, my experience is a little different, but similar. I have worked really hard at wrapping my heart up with a lot of metal and barriers and stuff like that. So I went in just to kind of relax and get away from my crazy, busy life that I like to fill myself up with. And anyway, so I was just going to have some time, fun time with my friends and be at the ocean and whatever. And then Friday night, we were doing worship, and there was a song that was, like, super amazing that we sang today. And it was like, where I go or where you go, I'll go or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's, like, awesome. This is a cool song. I want to hear it again. And whatever, didn't think anything of it. So then the next morning, well, that night, we have a rooftop and there's a jacuzzi and there's like the stars out. So the girls, all the girls are out in the jacuzzi hanging out. I'm like, this is awesome, little vacation. And then the next morning we go do a meditation and I love dolphins and I see dolphins. And then we go into the meditation and of course like the enemy's like, let me send you flashes of the things that I torment you with so you can't meditate. And so I had this, the battle began and I was like, all right, it's on. And then at breakfast, we're sitting down, and I was sitting across from Jasmine, and Jasmine's sharing some of her stuff, and then I'm just listening. And then all of a sudden, the woman that was sitting next to her, which was Claudine, touches her. This thing comes to me, to my heart. I start crying. It goes back to Jasmine, or what I'm visualizing. It goes back to Jasmine, goes back to Claudine, and then Claudine starts getting this download from the Lord. And then she decides that she has to speak to me, and then I'm like bawling my eyes, and I'm like, no. No, I didn't come here for this, no. Come on, heart, we're not feeling anything, numbness. And then, so she's sharing some stuff, which I don't even really remember what she shared, but it was meaningful. And then... Sorry. And then the Lord's pressing on her, like, we got to do this. So she goes and grabs Kathy, and she's like, we got to, that song, come on, let's go. It has to happen now. Like, I have to follow through. And I'm like, okay, let's go. We're going for a ride. So we're going upstairs, and she's speaking to me, and I'm crying, and then she's trying to make me sing the song. Oh, she plays the song, and I'm like, oh, no, not that song. And she's like, you got to sing. Come on, we got to sing. And I'm like, and I really can't sing, like literally could not sing. My throat, like words went away, and I'm like, all right, great, now I'm getting exercised because now my voice is gone. So then, sorry. So then she's like, come on, and she's praying on me, and then we've got Riley with us as well, and she's trying to sing, and then they're all singing and playing the music, and I'm just like, bawling my eyes, like hysterically crying, and I'm like, what is this about? And all of a sudden, I realized then that my heart is obviously the metal that I've worked on, and then my body's over here, and my mind's over here, so I'm completely out of alignment, so I'm coming into alignment, and then slowly I start singing, and I'm able to sing, and she's like, sing it, girl, you know, or at least that's what I'm interpreting she's saying. And we prayed whatever. I don't want to say demon because I don't want to give them that much power, but it was a stronghold that I definitely am. About a year and a half ago, I lost my mom and it rocked my world. And I'm going to be sarcastic about it so I don't cry. But anyway, like I was like, I don't want to feel pain. I'm not going to feel pain. So I'm going to like, whoop, I'm really good at making my heart hard and putting barriers. So I'm like, nope, not going to feel pain. I don't like pain. I'm not going to feel it. So then... this kind of opened up my heart again in a comfortable warmth way where it wasn't like detrimental, how I interpret it, being like horrible. And I felt like I was aligned and the Lord was aligned with me. And the rest of the day, I felt like I was in my body again, but in a really healthy way, in a really loving way. And it was super awesome. And so that's how the Lord showed up for me. I totally unraveled, and I wasn't even thinking about it. But then another cool thing happened. I got paired up with Megan. And Megan and I were, like, on 4 cups of coffee, kind of like I am now. And we're just, like, you know, talking really fast and whatever, and she's sharing stuff with me, and I'm sharing with her. And I'm like, you know, I've been having this anxiety since May, and, like, I can't kick it, and it's kind of annoying, and now I'm having panic attacks over the dishes and, like, really stupid stuff, and she's like, and then, you know, I was like, yeah, and then people are like, oh, we'll pray about it, and I'm like, really, that's not going to work, because I went into my scientific mind, and I was like, well, my HDL is too low, my hormones can't kick in, you know, like, my serotonin levels are probably blah, 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 and I'm deficient, like, why would God, like, why would prayer fix that? And she got, and she was agreeing with me, because she, too, in her struggle with her migraines, has been in that place where she's like, yeah, like, really, God's going to heal me? Well, why do I have migraines again? And in her little sarcastic voice, she goes, it was so funny. She goes, yeah, like, he didn't create us, like, every cell of our bodies and this and that. And then, and I was like, all of a sudden, like, the ocean, we were sitting at the ocean, and all of a sudden, like, the sky had opened up, and, like, it felt like God goes, duh, you knucklehead. I created all your cells. Of course I'm going to fix your HDL, and you're going to produce your hormones, and you're going to be okay, and you're not going to be all, like, depressed, and or not depressed, but have anxiety and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I wish Megan was here, because I was like, thanks, Megan. That's why we got paired up. And anyway, the other, so that was what how God met me and how all that happened. But what was super cool, too, was being together, doing life together, like, Carrie went way out of her way to make everything, like, so much detail that was so extremely cool. I mean, she put chocolate in her freaking beds, and she put a little, like, pineapple, like, made the chocolate look like a pineapple. I was like, what? Like, how amazing is that? I mean, it was so incredible. And then at night, this was, like, super awesome, because the girls that were worshiping decided to keep worshiping forever. And I was like, I'm not leaving this room. I'm going to go to sleep. I was laying on the floor Saturday night. I'm like, this is heaven. Like, the girls are worshiping. People are, you know, having their unraveling moments. And we're all just hanging out with each other. And these the music keeps going. I'm looking at Miranda's hands and Marnie's hands. I'm like, are they bleeding? Because, like, it's been a while. And they just keep going. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then checking in with some of the other girls, they were like, yeah, we were in our bed and we could hear the voices. And it was so angelic. So it was, like, super duper awesome. And I'm so glad I was there. And that's it.
Teamwork. I was going to do that. Say teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
You are so good. Okay, so if I lose my train of thought because I've had very little sleep, just say teamwork. That will bring me back. Okay? Thank you. I got that. So what I'm going to share has, it's very consistent with what everybody else has shared. But it's also a very honest journey of how I have come to the retreat and what I've seen since the retreat, or actually what I saw after the retreat. So I'm one of these legacy folks. For you young people, legacy folks means we've been here for a while, right? We're looking for someone to transition the skill sets, the knowledge, the wisdom, our life experiences of what it's like to build a church together, to hold it all together, and to just give it all to you. So be ready for that. So, first of all, retreat has never been my thing. And the girls know. It's been probably 17 years. Well, yeah, 17 years since I got married that every single time I go to a retreat, I cry because I don't want to leave my family. They're just so comfortable to be with, for me, that I'd rather not go anywhere but just to be with them. Even if we're in a house doing different things, I just want to be there with them. And so going to retreats are always a hard thing for me. And also, I know my role. I'm a doer, so I do a lot. And so over the years, I start thinking, I'm going to go to the retreat. I'm going to do this, do this, do this. I'm not going to have enough sleep. And it's just work, work, work. It's so against the word retreat, you know? So I didn't like it. And yet I go out of obligation. And so I kept praying, God, what do I do with this mindset? Because I'm struggling. I'm really, really struggling this time. And the good thing is the girls who needed the money went to my husband, who paid for it. So I had no chance to say no. So thank you, honey. The day of the retreat at work, I was leading a grounding circle. So the grounding circle just means we go back to the basics. We learn about the things that are that make us great people to be with, you know. And so I got to lead the grounding circle. And the Lord used that opportunity to teach me what it's like to change my mindset. And thanks to my musician friend, Debbie, she introduced me an orchestra. It's called Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. So when you have a chance, go listen to it. When I listened to it, in order to utilize that piece in the grounding circle, I was asking people, I started writing down questions so that people can get insights from. I started asking, so what do you notice as the orchestra begins? And usually, if you can visualize it, there's the instruments coming in. There's the violin, there's the flute, and there's the drum, and there's the conductor, right? Then I asked them, what happens when a person playing an instrument decides to just, well, I got 20 people playing the violin, so I'll just not play. And then the next person catches that, and they go, oh, I won't play either. The music's still going, right? So I think you all know the answer. What happens when everybody decides to not play their part? The music stops. What happens if half of the people decide not to play their part? The music sounds terrible. I mean, the piece of that music will get finished, but it's not going to sound good, right? And so as I was talking to my coworkers about this, I realized that I have been resisting to play my part. And the privilege and the gifts and that I have to get to go to every single retreat, I don't think I've ever missed one. I was actually throwing a tantrum. Because there's some people who actually have never been on a retreat. At this retreat, we did have people that have never gone onto a retreat. And some people were so looking forward to it. And here I am being given so much, having the privilege to go to a retreat, to say, I just don't want to go. That, the Lord called me out on it. And so I decided I'm going to go all in because I want us to play this instrument, this piece of the orchestra well. And so that was the decision I had to make. And then the moment I walked into the house, I saw Stephanie. And I looked at her, she looked a little frazzled, I think. And I go, Stephanie, I'm here. What can I do for you? Right? And she goes, nothing. You are here. That's all I need. And that became my impetus, my motivation to give it all during that retreat, because you cannot not show up and expect that thing to keep going, you know. So that's the part that I wanted to share about what happens, that the Lord changed my mindset. And then, give me the word.
Teamwork.
Thank you. Okay, all right, this is good. Okay, so throughout the retreat, this is what I saw, and at times I'm going to close my eyes because it's easier for me to just visualize it. Stephanie, Carrie, and Ellie, they were instrumental in making this whole thing happen. I mean, I could throw a tantrum about not going to a retreat, but if they didn't put it together, I wouldn't be able to go on a retreat. And so they're amazing. They tapped into each other's work styles, their personalities, and their talents, and they have made a retreat so amazing. At the same time, I don't know about you guys. I think when you guys go on a retreat, you like to break things and build things together to feel accomplished. We don't. Girls, when we leave the house, we would like to not do chores. We would like to not wash dishes. We like to just be taken care of, right? So through the work of Carrie and Allie and Stephanie, I just feel like that house was a resort for us. It was so well taken care of. It was beautiful. And the little things like that, chocolate pineapple, I concur. It has a scripture right next to it about, now I lay my head down to sleep. And that just gave me comfort. because I got very little sleep over the weekend, which the orchestra can play 2.5 days. We can't keep going because I would go crazy. But it was great. And then at the same time, for those who didn't notice while you're on the retreat, there were fairies in the kitchen. My bed was in the kitchen, right where everybody's activities were. So I got to see from behind the scene how people would just show up a little bit early to clean up the space, take out the trash, and just to make sure that that space is always ready for any types of gathering, always ready to have snacks, and it's always clean. So that's teamwork, number two. And I also saw young and old teaching each other, because there's a desire to give to each other what the Lord has given them. You know, if this is a good cookie, I want to share with you, right? And so I saw them teaching, sharing very candidly, very honestly with each other their journeys, their breakthroughs, scriptures that speak to them, and what the Lord has taught them. And they're praying for each other, they're worshiping together. And also, at times when they see differences, when they don't agree with something, there's respect. They come to the leaders, they come to the elders just to check in. You know, I see this, I don't quite get this, I don't quite think this is okay, I have a check in my spirit, can we talk about it? And so we get to share from our experience what it's been like, you know, holding a church together for so many years. This is what you look out for, and this is what you can do in order to go back and talk about that with the other person. Don't just judge, right? Just go back and have a conversation, understand that experience. So I saw that, and I really appreciated the young and old coming together and being taught by the young people. It gives me a fresh perspective on what it's like to live today's world walking with the Lord. So it truly is teamwork. It truly is worshipful. Everybody was being a worshipful child to the Lord. Every conversation was centered in the Lord. In the back of their mind, they know that this conversation, whether or not we have it again, it doesn't matter. Give it all. You know, and I really appreciate the late night conversation Saturday evening. If you're there, you know what you talked about. And I really, really appreciate how honestly you share each other's experiences with each other. It's just great. It leveled all of us. So that was teamwork. When I walked away, I realized, you know, through praying for other people, you know, throughout the retreat, that we all have a longing to grow deeper in the Lord. That's a cry deep in our heart. And that's beyond the retreat. That's not just for those who were there at the retreat. It's in all of you. You know, I know that at times we all think that everybody else has it together. You know, their walk with the Lord is constant. They're praying all the time. They're holy. Their prayers are more effective than I could pray. I think the same thing all the time, right? So the difference, this is what something that I do want to share with you guys all, is that when you want to grow deeper in the Lord, and there's a voice that comes in to tell you that you're just not adequate, you're not good enough, and that, see, they're spending more time with the Lord than you are, that's the voice of the enemy that causes you to hide and not share about that struggle or that longing, and causes you to just not want to be a part of a community, and then you get picked out. That's not the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, his kindness leads you to repentance, and it draws you near to his heart. And he says, come on in. Sure, let's spend more time. You know, he will never refuse to spend more time with you. And so hear that. Next time when there's that voice in your head, it tells you that you're not good enough, so that you're not of the Lord, just stop. And so here, this scripture is for everybody. You don't have to go onto a retreat to find God. You don't have to go onto a retreat to find God. You're not missing out on life if you choose to participate in playing the piece in the orchestra. That includes Sunday, that includes every day, that includes whenever you get to interact with somebody via Facebook, messaging them, via in person, in your family, you get to grow deeper in the Lord by choosing to participate, by giving it all, by listening, to take in their wisdom. Okay? So here's a scripture, Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He made that promise. Go to him. When you search him with all your heart, he will be found by you. So that's what I got from the retreat.
Good morning, loved ones.
Morning.
Gentlemen, did you miss us?
Yes.
It's nice to be missed. I have some confessions to make. Confession number one, I did not want to go on this retreat. I am so sorry. I did not want to. I remember the day I paid Allie for the retreat. I had that money in my hand, and I was thinking about all the other things I could be doing with this money as I handed it over, and she took it, and she tugged a little bit, and I tugged back. And then she tugged ever so gently again. It's like, okay. I when I think of women's retreats and women's conferences and stuff, all I can think of is being exhausted when it's over. Wore out. I didn't want to go. I'm glad I went, though. See, because as a single person, as a lifelong single person, I have been luxuriating in not showing up. I do. I'm single. I'm an introvert. I have a very active and busy professional life. So when I get an opportunity to be around nobody but my cat, I take it. But you know, as I get older, because I am very self-aware, as I get older, I see that it would be very easy for me to become very solitary. And that ultimately is not good. It's not healthy. And in order to do life together, you know what? I have to show up. I have to show up. The Lord reminded me of that this past weekend. And it was a wonderful weekend. I have been, poor Allie, I spent the entire weekend just gushing over her and all the hard work. She's probably sick of me by now, but you know what? I'm going to do it one more time because I want to do this in the hearing of our entire church family. Sister McDermott, thank you. Thank you. And I feel like the Lord wants to tell me this. You have been obedient, and in being obedient, you have pastored this church's women well, exceedingly well. Well done. Don't cry. Well done. The thing that I say this with regard to Allie, because one of the things that so impressed me is that this entire event began on her knees. She bathed it in prayer. She didn't take anything for granted. Well, we can just go ahead and do what we always do. You heard her testimony this morning. No, she bathed this in prayer. She went to the beach. She, Lord, what is your mind? What is your heart? What is your will for the women of Faith Worship Community? And then he spoke to her. Imagine that. And she wrote the vision down. And he gave her the names of the people, and she went with that, and everyone said yes. And I mean to tell you, it was a amazing experience. You know me, like I just said, I'm off of women's conferences and retreats forever. Not anymore. I can't wait to. Can we do it again next year? Kidding. She said no. That was wisdom. You don't know. Okay, that was wisdom talking. Big rain check. But you know, it was. You could feel the care. You could feel the love one for another in this event, in the way it was put together. I know that this was not effortless, but you made it look so easy. And I feel well cared for. Thank you, sister. Thank you to all of my sisters. Man, this was a team effort, right? Yeah, teamwork makes dream work. I like that, Kathy. I'm going to use it. It's all right, baby. I am going to read very briefly from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Miranda did a masterful job last week with that passage. It was absolutely masterful. Well done, sister. Well done. But this is something that has been turning over in my spirit just a little bit, and it is appropriate for this morning. These are Paul's admonitions regarding the sharing of the Lord's table. He says in verse 27, after quoting the Lord's words, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Now, that's the bad news. I get that part. But for my entire Christian life, from my Catholic school days, I always thought that that was just about the elements. But as I read the context of that passage of where he begins his conversation with scolding the Corinthians because they behave badly at the Lord's table. How do they behave badly? Well, some of y'all come and you bring your meal from wherever you bring it from, and you're sitting there stuffing your faces because you got a little money in your pocket, and you're stuffing your faces and you're drinking to the point of inebriation while somebody else among you goes hungry. And in so doing, you do not discern the body of Christ. I believe that admonition is as much about the people around the table as it is about the elements that are on the table. And this retreat really helped me to discern the body of Christ as I spent time with my sisters and listened to what they laugh at and watched them work in the kitchen with joy and love. And it's like, wow, I've gotten to know. You know what, Andrea? I've always loved you, but I think I love you more now. I really do. I love you because you're a little bit crazy like me. I love it. We need to spend more time together. We do. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be a part of this body. You know, not just to minister here, but just to hang. You people are fun. You're fun. And Winnie was the star of the show. Yes, she was. Last weekend, Winnie girl was everybody's baby. You walk in, she's smiling. And I'm just grateful. So as we prepare this morning to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup, let us be mindful and careful to discern not just the elements, but the people sitting around the table with us. Amen? All right, Pastor Brad.